And the boy said, I've crossed it all out in red. I'm talking today about kindness. Kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. We've looked at love and joy and peace and patience. So today I'm talking about kindness. When I first thought about kindness, I have to admit that I thought it was a rather second division fruit. Not quite as good as love, perhaps. Not quite as important as joy or peace. In fact, you know, in some translations, the word kindness doesn't actually appear in the list in Galatians 5. I don't think that anymore, however. But, you know, in the list you have love, and you also have kindness, and we also have goodness. And these things sort of overlap, if you think about it. Where does kindness end and love begin? Where does kindness end and goodness begin? But I don't think it matters, because we need to have all of these things. All of this is the fruit of the Spirit. I found on the web that there's an organization called the World Kindness Movement. And apparently the person who started this he'd heard so much about random acts of senseless violence that he decided he instead was going to commit random acts of senseless kindness. So he and his friends and family started doing this, and other people got involved too, and so the organization was formed. And so their only objective is to perform random acts of senseless kindness. So kindness for no reason at all, except they want to be kind. That's all. I want to start off by talking about God's kindness. And the reason I want to stress God's kindness is because there are people who have this idea that God is a bit mean. They think that perhaps God is sneaking around the corner, and he's there to trip you up if you make a mistake. Or worse still, that he's up there in heaven and he's waiting to dump a load of trouble on people. People think like that. But I want to say that this is absolutely not our God. This is not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't. Our God is completely different from this. Our God is the one actually who's walking alongside us, and he says, walk this way so that you don't trip. And he's up there in heaven, yes, and he's looking to see, who can I bless today? Who can I give some kindness to? Who can I show my kindness to today? That's our God. Our God is a God of mercy and compassion and kindness. When I was young, my mum had a little saying, and it went like this. The rain it raineth every day upon the just and unjust fella, but mainly on the just, because the unjust hath the just's umbrella. I'm not sure why she said this. Perhaps it reflected something of her philosophy of life. But part of this is actually from the Bible. And Matthew 5:45 says that he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God is kind to all people everywhere, no matter whether they're good or evil, no matter whether they're righteous or unrighteous. He's kind to all people. Creation displays God's kindness, you know. When God created the world, he didn't just make one fruit or one kind of food, which would have been enough to nourish us, but he made lots of fruit, lots of food. When God made sunsets, he didn't just make one that he repeated over and over. He made them different so that each time we could wonder and marvel at God's kindness to us. I found recently a little story. And this is the story of a Chinese girl and how she became a Christian. And this is what she said. First, there was a sunset that caused a deep stirring in her soul that she couldn't put into words. And then there was a time when the simple beauty of flowers in her mother's garden spoke to her of a simplicity for which her heart yearned. Simply by observing the beauty in nature, she had become convinced of the existence, not just of a neutral God, but of a loving, caring Father. "Imagine my joy," she said, "when I discovered he had a name, and his name was Jesus." And all at once, in this meeting, many other Chinese people chimed in with the same story, the same testimony, that it was creation itself that had showed them that God exists and that God is kind. "The Lord is gracious and compassionate," this is Psalm 145. "He is slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. He calls weak, flawed people into purpose and destiny." Very often we see in Scripture that he chooses to demonstrate his love not to strong, clever, powerful people, but to weak people, to ordinary people, and to powerless people, people like us. To us who know him in a more personal way, there are other blessings, other kindnesses that he showers upon us. I'm going to read from Ephesians 1, and I'm going to use a translation, it's a paraphrase actually, called the Street Bible, which has very down-to-earth type language. But as I read this, think about all these things which are evidence of God's kindness. "God let Jesus the Liberator pick us out to be his special people, fully acquitted and loved. What God always wanted, what he craved for, was for us to fulfill our destiny, to be adopted into his family through our links with Jesus the Liberator. He loves his son so much that he piles on the dazzling freebies, and we're left speechless. Our Jesus link sparks off all God's OTT generosity. If it wasn't for his wisdom in knowing how we tick, you'd think he was spoiling us with all these bonuses. And here they are. 1, we're bought back from the enemy at a price calculated in units of Jesus' blood. 2, our mess is cleaned up and cancelled. 3, we get the inside story on his plans for the future that he's bringing about. 4, we've been picked out, destined even, by the one who runs the cosmos to be the channel through which other people catch on to how dazzlingly brilliant God is. You get God's Holy Spirit based permanently in your deepest places, locked in as a guarantee, a down payment for the next one, 6, all the rest of your inheritance that God's still got an account for you. Until 7, you get the full freedom that God's got online for his people. What an amazing list of God's kindness. Two other things I want to mention which show God's kindness. And one is the conviction of sin, the knowledge that we've done wrong. Now, God gives this to us not just to make us feel bad. This is the call of a loving Father away from things that will hurt us. And forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of his biggest kindnesses to us. Romans 2 says that his kindness leads to repentance. His kindness is meant to turn us back, turn us round and back to God. Christ gave and did and suffered great things so that the blessings and the kindnesses of God could be ours. Kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And Jesus talked about fruit. Jesus said, "By their fruit you shall recognize them." Okay, by their fruit you shall recognize them. And he was talking about, he was saying trees, you know, good trees bear good fruit and bad trees bear bad fruit. And so by their fruit, people are recognized by what their lives demonstrate. And interestingly, straight after this verse, there's a passage which talks about words and about gifts. And it says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do these wonderful things? Didn't we perform miracles? And I will say to them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. So God, Jesus is saying here, he's saying here that it's not words that are important. It's not even gifts that are important. It's the fruit. It's the fruit. It's what our lives demonstrate. That's what he's looking for in us. People know this. People in the world have an idea of what Christians ought to be like. In fact, there are many who'll be quite happy to tell you if you don't quite match up with what they think a Christian should be. And interestingly, it's not lack of fruit, and it's not lack of gifts that cause comment. No one in my workplace has ever commented on my lack of prophecy. No one in my workplace has ever complained that I haven't performed a miracle. It's never happened. But if I'm not kind, someone will say something. They will. A little while ago, I was grumbling about one of my colleagues. I was complaining about something I thought he ought to have done and he hadn't done, and I was getting a bit upset. And the person I was talking to turned to me and said, that's not very Christian. And I said, oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Josh McDowell is a man, American, who's quite well known for presenting a defense of Christianity. He's able to explain the truth and explain how everything in the Bible is true and relevant. And he was holding a series of meetings in a university in the States. And at the end of these meetings, two students went up and became Christians. And later on, he said to them, what was it that persuaded you? He wanted to know which of his clever arguments, which of his well-thought-out speeches it was that had done the trick. And they said, oh, it wasn't any of that. It was nothing that you said. It was the way you played with your children. The way you played with your children, it was by the fruit of his life that they recognized there was something there. We don't produce fruit by ourselves. We produce fruit as we stay joined to Jesus. I haven't quite got this acetate thing sorted out. Right. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. He will bear much fruit as we remain in Jesus, linked to Jesus. This passage talks about Jesus being the vine and us being the branches. A branch can't exist on its own. It just dies. It has to stay in contact with the vine. And so we have to stay in contact with Jesus. We have to stay with that life of Jesus flowing through us. Otherwise, no fruit. The same passage says this. If I can get that on the side, yes. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, why? To go and bear fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. Now, gifts are great, aren't they? We love it when we hear prophecy, when we have tongues, when God is working in that way. But when the Bible talks about these things, it says prophecy will cease. Tongues will be stilled. And knowledge will pass away. But God wants us to have fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. I came across a story which happened shortly after the war. And three people were being sent to Europe to see how money was being spent in the reconstruction. And one was a man called Dr. Mackey, who was president of the World Council of Churches. and two other clergymen who belonged to a rather strict denomination. And they journeyed around and they came to a Greek village, and the Orthodox priest invited them to come and share his hospitality. He was overjoyed to see them. And so he got out the best thing he could think of. It was a box of Havana cigars. And he offered them each a cigar. And Dr. Mackey took one, bit off the end, like you're supposed to, apparently, and he smoked it, and he said how good it was. The other two said, "We don't smoke." And the priest was a bit upset. He didn't quite know what he'd done. He didn't know what he'd done to upset these people. So he thought, "I'd better go and find something else." So off he went, and he came back with a flagon of his best wine. And he offered them a glass. And Dr. Mackey took a glass, he smelt it, took a sip, drank it, said how good it was, and asked for another. The other two, however, went even further back and said, "We don't drink." Later on the way back, these two men said to Dr. Mackey, "Dr. Mackey, surely you, the president of the World Council of Churches, the minister in the Church of Scotland, surely you don't drink and smoke?" And Dr. Mackey said, "Of course I don't, but somebody had to be a Christian. Somebody had to be a Christian in that situation." Be kind, the Bible says. Be kind because God is kind. Therefore, as God's chosen people, it's Colossians 3, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with gentleness, with humility, and with patience. Because we're God's chosen people, because we're dearly loved, God asks us to be kind, and God enables us to be kind. And going back to a verse that we had at the beginning, which is this one, the beginning of this says this: "But I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." So because God causes his sun to rise on evil people as well as good people, we can pray for our enemies. We can be like God. Because he sends his rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous, we can love our enemies. There should be a family likeness. A family likeness. A few weeks ago, Chris's parents were here. And when I saw his father, there was something there. There was a mannerism, a way that he moved his hands that was just like Chris. I'd have known him anywhere. And there should be, between us and God, there should be some resemblance, some family likeness. Because God is kind, we should be kind, because we're part of his family, and because we spend time with him. I found three explanations of kindness, which I rather liked. The first is that kindness is a disposition to do good to others. That is, a heart that wants to bless other people. And secondly, that kindness is Christianity with its working clothes on. It's getting down to business, doing the job. And the third one is that that great acts of love are performed by those who habitually perform small acts of kindness. I wonder, when you hear about people doing amazingly loving things, you know, you hear about it, don't you, about people putting themselves on the firing line in somebody else's place, or people going to rescue someone at risk to themselves. Do you ever wonder, what would I do in that situation? Sometimes I wonder, what would I do? Would I do the same thing? And I have to come to the conclusion, probably not. But maybe if I was being spiritual, I might think, well, if I was in that situation, God would give me the strength to do it. But I don't think we need to wait for that situation that might happen sometime in the future, because God gives us small acts of kindness to do now. And the link is that in doing both things, we're putting self aside and acting for the benefit of somebody else. And kindness is a fruit, and it's a fruit which grows. So we start small. Start small. Kindness is not weak, doormat stuff. Elisha knew about kindness. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we have a story about the Arameans who were coming to get him. They were the enemy, and they sent a large force and chariots and everything, and they were coming to get him. Elisha prayed that they'd be made blind, and they were, and he led them to the king. The king got really excited to see all his enemies in this state, and he said, "What shall we do? What shall we do? Shall we kill them?" And Elisha said, No, we're going to feed them. We're going to feed them. So they had a feast. They had a banquet. And then they were sent home with their sight restored. And what was the result of this? Did the Arameans say, "Oh, these Israelites are a soft touch. We'll go back again next week"? No, they didn't. The result was that the Arameans stopped raiding Israel. They stopped raiding Israel. And this reminds me of a verse in the Bible, at the end of Romans 12, which talks about the same thing. And again, I've got it. And it says this: if your rival looks a bit peckish, buy her a sandwich. If he's spitting feathers, get him a drink. You might even shame him into shifting his attitude. Don't get sucked under by his evil, but drag him back to the surface by doing him good. Kindness can be outward things. It can be things that we've talked about generosity, hospitality. It can also be to do with spiritual things: comforting, encouraging, warning, teaching. A pastor I once knew was going to speak at an old people's home. Now, if it wasn't a Christian old people's home, it was just an ordinary old people's home. I don't know what you'd choose as your subject if you were going to do that. If it were me, I'd probably talk about prayer, perhaps, or the peace of God, or something like that. He decided he was going to talk about preparing for death. Was that kind? To talk to old people about preparing for death? Well, they seemed to think so, because afterwards many came up and said to him, "Thank you. Thank you for talking about the thing that we all think about, but nobody mentions." Who should we be good to? Who should we be kind to? Like Jesus, like God, we need to be kind to good people and bad people. We need to be kind to people who are friends and people who aren't friends, enemies. We need to be kind to people who are thankful and people who aren't thankful. And this is the challenge, isn't it? It's not too difficult to be nice to someone if they're nice to you. It's not that hard to be kind if you know that that person is going to return it. But if they aren't, that becomes much more difficult. But we need to be like God, like our Father in heaven, who causes his sun to shine on evil and good, and sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And also, I need to be kind to myself. I need to be kind to myself because God is kind to me. Now, by saying this, I don't mean that I should be indulgent, that I should put myself first. That's not what we're saying at all. But I need to look after myself and be kind to myself. I've thought of two ways in which this is relevant to me. You may think of other things. But one is to do with time. Now, God didn't make us to live a 24/7 lifestyle. He didn't. He made us to have times of work and times of rest. He made us have times when we're productive and times when we aren't productive, when we're resting. And so even in these days where we're busy, where we have schedules and deadlines, we need to take time out and we need to rest, and we need to be not feel guilty if we're not busy all the time. You know, people think that if you say to them, "Oh, how are you?" and they say, "Oh, I'm busy," you know, that that's a good thing. It's a good thing sometimes, but we need times to rest as well. I need times to rest so that I can do what God's called me to do properly. And the other way that I can be kind to me is to forgive myself. If God has forgiven me, who am I to do anything else? Who am I to do anything else? We need to forgive ourselves. How should we be kind to people? We should be kind to people the same way as Jesus is. Freely, cheerfully, liberally. If we're under an obligation to give, it makes the act less valid. It's our choice, the fact that we can choose, that makes the act a valid act. Now, there used to be a saying, as cold as charity, and that referred to a cold-hearted giving. It was like saying, "I'm rich and you're poor, and although I think you don't deserve it, I'd better give you something because I ought to do it." Nobody liked that. People would rather go without than receive that kind of gift. Our giving needs to be free, cheerful, and liberal. I've been preparing this talk for a while, and it's given me some problems. It's given me some problems because I've been thinking a lot about kindness, and I've been trying to be kind. And so I'm thinking about this and thinking, well, am I being kind because I've got to talk about it? Or is it actually real? And it was difficult. It's difficult because you start analysing things and think, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And I wasn't sure what to do. Should I be kind just when I feel like being kind? Or should I do it anyway? Because I have got to talk about it. And in the middle of this, I remember something which God has shown me some time ago. And it's good if we're in this situation, and it happens quite a lot, I think, when we have the feeling that God wants us to do something. We have this God's will, and we have what we want, and the two things aren't quite the same. And this may not be a big thing. In fact, it probably isn't a big thing. It's probably something quite small. But God, we know that God's will is this, but my heart is somewhere else. And so what we do probably depends on the kind of person that we are. We might be the sort of person that says, well, you know, I'm free. I don't have to do anything I don't want to do, so I'm not going to do it. Or we might be the sort of person, and this is a bit like me, that says, well, I don't feel like doing it, but I ought to do it, so I'm going to do it. But there's another way, and the way that I've found is that it's not being it's not being dishonest, but it's to say, God, I know that this is your will, but my heart is somewhere else. But God, can you change my heart? Can you change my heart so that what I want and what you want come closer together? And God likes that prayer. God's very good at answering that prayer. So in the middle of all this, my worrying about whether I'm being kind just so I can talk about being kind, I was at the bus stop one day, and somebody asked me for directions. They wanted to know what bus to get to go somewhere. And it wasn't straightforward. So I had to explain that this wasn't the bus stop, they had to go somewhere else. And they weren't English, they didn't speak very good English, so it was a bit difficult. Anyway, in showing them where to go, I missed my bus. But I was pleased. I was pleased because I hadn't stopped to think, shall I be kind to these people? I ought to be kind to these people. I just did it. And I was pleased because I just felt that God was working in my life in a little way. In Romans 12, we have this verse. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not be conformed to the world. What does the world do in terms of kindness? Well, people are kind to people who are kind to them, don't they? They're nice if they're nice back. And people are good to people in their own circle. And if we do that, that's a good place to start. It's good to be kind to your family and your friends and those who are kind to you. That's a good thing. But Jesus says, if we're like that, we're actually like pagans. Because pagans greet people who greet them. Everybody does that. Okay? We need to go further than that. Okay? We need to be more like Jesus. Okay? We need to love people who don't love us. We need to be kind to people who are not kind to us. Okay? We need to reach out to people who are not in our immediate circle, but are outside. Maybe there are people in our workplaces that are shunned or spurned for some reason. They're not considered to be in the clique, you know, one of the inner circle. Perhaps we should reach out to those people. Perhaps they need to have some kindness shown to them as well. I've thought of four things which can help us to grow in this area of kindness. And the first thing is to take time. To take time. Now, kindness can be something that is premeditated, so something that we think about, that we plan. And to do that takes time. I've got to think about it, I've got to plan it, and then I have to do it. Kindness can be spontaneous. It can be something that happens, and we respond in a kind way. But both of these take time to do, because it means I have to set aside what I was going to do and do something else instead. Now, in our culture in Britain, particularly in white Britain, I think we're quite task-orientated. So it's important that we get things done. That's what we think. In other cultures, in Romania, for example, where I spent a couple of weeks, they're much more people-orientated. So it's much, much more important to spend time with people rather than get things done. And what that means is that in Romania, it would be perfectly acceptable to take a day off to drive somebody to the airport, even if there's a perfectly good bus or a train. And the boss would not think twice about giving you a day off to do that. That'd be rather nice, wouldn't it? But we need to take time. We need to take time to be kind. And sometimes we can treat kindness like a task. It's something on my list that I have to do. But I think, you know, God wants more than that. And secondly, to help us, if God says something, we need to do it. Now, sometimes in the context of worship, I feel that God is saying something to me, something about what I ought to do in the coming week. And this is great, but because it's generally quite a small thing, I can go home and say, well, God, did you mean this week or next week? Did you mean I should be kind to that person or this person? Did you really speak to me at all? And I can talk myself out of that. And I can say, well, it was only small. Is it really important? But I think if something comes to us and it's here in worship, it probably is God. And if God is speaking, even if it's small, it probably is important too. Thirdly, I think we can be thankful. We can be thankful for the kindness that we see around us. People are kind. People are kind. God is kind. Let's acknowledge the kindness that we see. The kindness that we see. If we do that, we take the focus off ourselves and we start recognizing all the instances of kindness. Perhaps we should have a kindness spotting week, where every day we see who's being kind to us or who's being kind to somebody else. It lifts our spirits, okay, and it encourages us to be part of it, to be kind to others. But I think most important is that we know God's kindness, that we know God's kindness in our lives. Because we don't get to be kinder people by just trying to be kinder. We get to be kinder people, I think, by staying linked up to Jesus and by knowing that God is kind and that he's kind to me. He's kind to me. What if I don't particularly feel God's kindness at the moment? What if there are situations in my life and it doesn't seem like God is kind? Well, you know, children say to their parents sometimes, "You're so mean." Now, that doesn't usually mean that the parent is mean. What it usually means is that the child isn't getting their own way. And sometimes, for us, it can be like that. You know, we might not say, "God, you're mean," but we might think, "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this, God?" But like as parents, we see further than our children. Children see a little bit. They see what they want now. Okay? But we see further than that. We want their ultimate good. And so with God, God wants our ultimate good. And sometimes that means the immediate thing that we can see might not be part of his plan. But we know that God is working all things out for our good and for his glory. So we need to feed ourselves with God's word, with the verses that tell us that God is kind, that God is kind. "I will tell of the loving kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, the many good things that he has done." So we need to live in God's kindness. We need to stay joined. As the branch is joined to the vine, we need to stay joined to Jesus. We need to read the verses that tell us about God's kindness. We need to speak out the verses that tell us of God's kindness. And as we do that, we are enabled to be kind ourselves. In terms of fruit growth, change is a gradual thing. It's a gradual thing. But it is a possible thing. It is a possible thing because God wants to change us. God wants us to not be conformed to the world, but he wants us to be transformed. So because God is kind, we should be kind. Because God is kind to us, he enables us to use that kindness and to be kind to other people.
Monica, thanks. Really helpful, really great. Can you just turn around this thing? Excellent, really helping us there see the importance of God's kindness. I feel, as Monica was talking, I just really was aware in my own heart, I'm sure for many of us, just how kind God is, and yet how I don't appreciate God's kindness. I think God wants us to receive something from him today, which is to receive his kindness in our lives, to know his kindness, to receive God's kindness flooding our hearts. I wonder if you'd stand with me, please. I think that would be really great. And let's still our hearts before God. Let's respond to what we've heard. We've heard Monica explain so clearly about God's goodness and God's kindness to us. Isn't it wonderful to know that we serve a God who's kind? He's not mean. He's not harsh. He's not a God who's looking to trip us up. He's not set some kind of traps for us. He's not looking to wait till we sin and then point his finger at us. But God is on our side and he is very, very kind towards us. God's kindness is far bigger than we ever know. Let's ask this morning for a revelation from heaven for the kindness of God. I wonder if you just lift your heart, your spirit to God this morning and ask. Ask for God to pour this kindness into our hearts. Lord, we are so grateful today. Lord, we want to say thank you that we serve a God who is very, very kind. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your nature, you've revealed yourself as a God who is full of kindness, who is overflowing with kindness. And that kindness extends to us, those you've made. Those, Lord, you've made and invited into your family. Oh God, this morning we want to receive. We want to receive from you your abundant kindness, your overflowing kindness. We want, Lord, to let our hearts be changed by that kindness. And I'm asking today, Lord, that you do something in tearing down ideas in our minds of you being mean, of you being harsh, of you being critical and negative. Lord, any preconceptions, any wrong ideas, any false images that we have of who you are and your nature, come today, Lord, and reveal yourself to us as you really are, Lord. So kind, so loving. Oh God, Lord, come today. Lord God, we wait. We wait in your presence. We wait. Lord God. Lord. Lord. Just as we're waiting, just allow God to open the curtains of his revelation and give you a bigger picture of himself. Just lift your spirit in faith to God and allow him to illuminate, show you, reveal to you his kindness. God knows the very worst you've ever done, ever thought and ever said, but that doesn't change or alter or diminish or extinguish his kindness towards you today. God's kindness is flowing like a stream from heaven into your life. Oh, God is determined to pour his kindness all over your life today. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful God. Lord. Oh, God. Lord, today we just put down. We put down our wrong ideas about you. And Lord, we're sorry where we thought you're mean, where we thought, Lord, that you have done us hard. We thought, we're sorry, Lord. We want to say we're really sorry. Where, Lord, we've not appreciated that you are a very kind God. And Lord, we want today to soak up. Just as the sunshine warms our bodies, we want to soak up the warmth of your kindness today towards us. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Jesus. Lord God. Thank you. Thank you. This is Chris plays quietly behind in the background. I wonder if you just let's keep our hearts still before God. Just allowing that gentleness, that kindness to touch our hearts this morning. Just wait. There's no hurry. We're not in a hurry this morning to get on and do something. We want to just give God that space to reveal and to pour his kindness.